Well, hey, everyone. This is Heidi St. John. Welcome to the Off the Bench podcast. You guys have been listening, I know, because I'm hearing from you in the show notes and over at Mailbox Monday, to some of the divisions that are taking place inside the church right now. And today I am joined on the show by my good friend, Pastor Sam Sandin. He is an associate pastor up at Father's House Church in Longview, Washington. And we're going to be talking today a little bit about cancel culture within the church. This is a really significant issue, and I think it deserves some attention, and so we're going to give it some today. This is the Heidi St. John podcast. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning in today. I am so happy and honored to have my friend, Pastor Sam Sandin, joining me at the Off the Bench podcast today. I have known the Sandins for a very long time, really good friends with Sam's mother-in-law, Barb Shelton, and we met through the homeschool community. And these two, Sam and his wife, Sharnessa, have become dear friends of ours, have helped us quite a bit in my run for Congress, and they are doing extraordinary things politically up in the area where they live, just a little bit north of me, about a half an hour north of me. They're actually seeing some significant changes because they've been able to engage the church in the process up there and really drive out the vote. So I love these guys. You're going to love them too. And we're going to talk a little bit today about cancel culture inside the church. So it's my joy to welcome Sam Sandin to the podcast. Hey, my friend.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited.
You're welcome. So let's just jump right into this because there are lots of different areas that we can agree to sort of disagree, right, inside the church. We were just talking about this before we started recording, that there are areas in which we must agree, right, in doctrine, issues of, related to our faith, particularly as it relates to salvation, the Godhead, right, the Trinity, these kinds of things would be deal breakers. But then there are other issues inside the church which are not deal breakers, and yet we argue about them. I think what comes to mind immediately are people that have different views on the rapture.
Right.
Everyone that listens to my show knows that I am a pre-tribulation rapture girl. I was trained in that. That was what, and then when I went away to Bible college, it was sort of solidified for me. But I have friends who are post-tribbers and mid-tribbers, and guess what? We're still friends. I'm not gonna excommunicate a friend over it.
Right.
But we have a pretty serious issue inside the church right now as it relates to cancel culture. So I'm going to throw something out at you, and then I want to get your thoughts.
Yeah.
Recently, I spoke to the issue on my show of a pastor who got canceled from, well, not canceled. He was asked to not be on American Family Radio anymore because he gave what was really bad advice to a caller. And I think probably more important was the fact that the way that he handled it seemed arrogant to me. But we've also seen over the last couple of years, right now we're really, I mean, the church in Kansas City just reeling from what's going on with Mike Bickle, who was the founder of IHOP Church out of Kansas City. Obviously, there was huge issues surrounding Bill Hybels. We could talk about Ravi Zacharias, and I'm wondering, because, when I asked you weeks ago, hey, what's on your heart as a pastor right now? When you got back to me, you said that you're frustrated with this cancel culture that we're seeing inside the church. So a person makes a bad decision, or they give bad advice, right, as in the case of Alistair Begg more recently. And then all of a sudden, their whole ministry and everything they ever did is just gone. Tell me what you meant when you said, hey, I'm frustrated with cancel culture inside the church.
Yeah, I think, with friends like other Christians who need enemies sometimes, right? And
right.
And what I mean by that is that I think we go to extremes. Any sin in the camp is very unfortunate. It needs to be dealt with fully. I'm 100% behind that. But where do you go then after that? And whether it is something that's been going on for years, or it's something where, like in the case you just mentioned, where it's poor advice, and what used to be the case in the past, where maybe you mentioned something on a Sunday morning, and someone had to track down the tape to figure out that it happened, right? But now we're living
right
our lives. Right, yeah, for everyone to see. And the moment you get something wrong, it's out there and everyone jumps on the bandwagon, and we kind of lose track, I think, a little bit of what's happening. Because even if we go to some of the extreme cases with Ravi or Bill Hybels or you know, Mike Bickle, I think the tendency for us as a church is that if someone messes up and messes up big time, and whether that's, you know, accidentally or willful sin, we then more or less erase their life from history. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that, you know, here you have someone who has fallen to sin or what have you, that is, it's tragic. And then we go and basically, not only is it a life that's being destroyed and maybe a church that in big turmoil, the local congregation, but then the enemy is not just having that success, but then we as a church decides to eradicate all the life work of these people who maybe even they were in sin when some of these things happened, but God uses fault, you know, people with issues, right? We see that through scripture. And we, I think, in our immaturity sometimes don't understand how to separate the teaching and the legacy from a person from the person itself. And I don't know how many times where something would happen and you would go to the Christian bookstore the next week and all those books were gone.
All their stuff is gone, yeah.
Yeah. And I even heard the extreme. I had one guy talk to me about it. He said that I will not recommend a writer unless it's been dead 100 years. And I'm like, what in the world are you thinking of? It's kind of, he was saying that unless I can show that or see that the track record this guy finished well, mm-hmm. I wouldn't touch the writings. And I think it's very unfortunate. And we need to be able to teach people.
What does that say about King David? I mean, what does it say about,
right?
There's just so many, the Bible is replete with yep. examples of men and women. You know, I was just talking to Jay, maybe you guys are with us. We were talking about this the other day when we were saying that it's, you know, anyone can start strong, right?
Right.
We start strong in our ministry. We start strong in our marriages. We start strong in homeschooling. It's very difficult to finish strong.
Yep.
And it seems to me that maybe this is evidence that we need to be praying more
right.
for those men and women who really are on the front lines of the ministry.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's hard if you're not in that position to understand the pressure and the challenges and temptations. And, mm-hmm. You know, the more successful the church or your ministry or, you know, as a writer yeah. or the lonelier it gets many times because yeah. even, you know, it's the friends you have are far and few between. But it's hard to be that intentional with people. And unfortunately, even in Christian circles, you have the jealousy, right? And it's,
yes.
this is nothing new. And, but we need to be in accountability with other believers. And, make sure that we stay humble because it is so easy to think that we're the one causing the increase, but truly only God can do that. You know, Paul talks mm-hmm. about, you know, him and Apollos, right? They one planted, one watered, but God was the one bringing the increase. And I think it's so important to remember that we have to hold our ministries loosely. And to be honest, it's not our ministries anyway, right? It's mm-hmm. God's ministries. So,
yeah.
and could you imagine, I was just thinking about that earlier today. So you have Peter, right? The number one disciple, so to speak. Then he denies Jesus. And could you imagine if someone live streamed that today or that went on TikTok?
He'd be done.
Know, he's done. And then yeah. Jesus yet brings him back and he becomes, you know, the one of the foundational apostles and throughout history. And and even Paul, when he talks about in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he's taking them to task over all the sin in the church and man, he's letting them have it. And then in the 2 Corinthians, like, hey, he's sorted out now. Let him back in. And I think we, and I'm not saying that everyone should be let back in the ministry after so much
sure.
or so much time,
right.
but I think we have that tendency of just writing people off completely, and especially the work for the Lord. And so the enemy gets a double victory. Not only does it take a person out, he eradicates their whole life.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hmm. Man, it's true. And I'm thinking, you know, obviously right now, the situation with Mike Bickle, you know, all over the news. And yet I know people whose lives were positively impacted by the ministry of Mike Bickle and of IHOP. Now, I'm not a super fan of, I should state, I'm not a super fan of some of the theology that Mike Bickle taught from the pulpit. But I also think this is a man who loved the Lord and clearly a flawed human being. But as you rightly pointed out, we are all flawed human beings. And but by the grace of God goes, you know, there goes Heidi St. John. And I think, you know, why is it that we hear, I mean, obviously this is a spiritual battle, right? Because the adversary knows if I can take out a marriage, I've got a clean shot at the children, right? Yeah. If I can take out a pastor, I've got a clean shot at an entire flock, an entire congregation who then becomes disillusioned and discouraged. Yeah. And at the end of the day, this is really about the gospel, right? It's about, it's not just about the legacy of that pastor, which is, you know, tarnished forever and sometimes even lost or completely eradicated. Right. You make a good point. But ultimately, we need to do a better job of keeping our eye on the ball because this is about Jesus. It's about the advancement of the gospel.
Yeah, it is so true. Yeah, it's so easy to just, we don't appreciate the impact we have, I think, sometimes, mm-hmm. and how, what responsibility we have as leaders, mm-hmm. And how it is so much more at stake. And I don't know how many churches that have split up over issues like this, whether it's financial mismanagement, sexual sin, and the ripple effects, I don't think we'll know until heaven to see how far they go. And mm-hmm. we need to get back to the gospel. The priority needs to be getting people saved and seeing life transformed and making disciples. And that means we have to find ways to do that in a way that they're not dependent on us, mm-hmm. But that we train them up. You know, in Ephesians 4, it talks about, you know, the apostles and prophets and pastors, the managers and teachers, right, that they're to train up the church, the body, to do the work of the ministry. And mm-hmm. I think we need to get back to body ministry, really, and understand that that's what we're doing. We're not working to hire someone to be the full-time pastor and he's doing the ministry, right?
Boy.
Or the teacher, whatever. It's body ministry. We live in a culture that idolizes people. Whether it's through social media, TikTok, you know, Twitter, what have you. And it's easy to think that just by following someone, you are being changed, but that's not true.
Mm. I think it's a really good reminder also that we move, because I want to say, and Sam, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, but I kind of think that there are two sides to the same coin of this particular sickness inside the church. One side is the side of celebrity, right? You have these celebrity pastors and celebrity worship leaders and celebrity Bible teachers. I mean, I can think of a half a dozen. You probably can too, right off the top of your head, where we see this guy at a conference and your heart kind of stops. You go, that's the guy, you know, that's the guy.
Right.
And the other side of that is cancel culture, but they both belie the same thing. One side is, hey, you know, we put these guys up on a pedestal, and the other side is, oh, now we knocked you off your pedestal.
Right.
And I'm just kind of wondering if, you know, we need to check our own hearts with regard to how we see these people. And instead of idolizing them, we pray for them.
Right. Yeah. And that we see that we have a part to play in this, right? It's the body ministry. We are... You know, it says, you know, if you give a prophet a glass of water, you'll get a prophet's reward, right? So I think understanding that it's not us versus them, but that we have a part to play as ordinary believers, even though there's no such thing as non-ordinary believers, right? We're all just believers. Mm-hmm. And we need to be careful in how we do and how we treat people and how we, you know, we lift them up, and then when they fall, we're ticked at them. But did we pray for them? Did we support them? Did we...
Yeah.
You know that they're not more than us, right? Mm-hmm. We're just all being used by God, and we have different callings and different spheres of influence. Some are called to reach the masses. Some are called to reach your neighbor or just your family, right? It doesn't matter that one is bigger than the other in human eyes, but mm-hmm. they're all as important, and we got to stop the comparison.
Yeah.
I think we also have this mindset that God is a God of limited opportunities. So if someone else gets blessed or gets promoted or has favor in their ministry or at their workplace, We think that God can't use us, and then there's a root for jealousy to step in there. Instead of understanding that God is a God of abundance, and He loves us, and if someone else gets blessed, let's rejoice with them. You know, the Bible talks about rejoicing with those who rejoice and cry with those who cry, right? And it's we need to get back to that. That it's a team ministry. We're in it together, and this whole lone wolf Christianity does not work. And I think that that's again the whole concept of private faith, that you know my faith is personal and I'm not going to tell anyone about it, and boy, is that a lie that has affected the church. And we see in the culture today that when we don't live out our faith, we can't blame the world for going to hell in a handbag, because we've abdicated the role that we have to be salt and light. And to do that, we have to live out our faith.
Something that you have done, I think, just beautifully at Father's House, where you have been on staff there for quite a number of years, is you have done, and I think slowly, incrementally, been teaching the men and women that attend that body how important it is that they participate in culture. You know, some people call that participation in culture, you know, the seven mountains, right? The seven mountains of influence. You know, what are they? Obviously, it's government, it's education, it's business. There's seven of them, obviously. But I wonder if you could speak to just, you know, the men and women who are listening. And I want to get back to cancel culture. I'd written down another question. Sure. I want to ask you about it. But how do we go from, you know, this place where we've developed this sort of consumer mentality when it comes to church, right? Yeah. So this consumer mentality says, I'm going to go to church, and it's Pastor Sam's job to come up with a message, and he's going to teach me, and I'm going to sit and listen, and then I'm going to go home and put my Bible on a shelf. And then I'm going to come back next Sunday, blow the dust off my Bible, and Pastor Sam's going to, you know, dust me off and put me back in the ring. But that's not really the job of the pastor, is it?
No. No, it's equip the saints for ministry. Mm-hmm. And we have to get back to that, not just the little tidbits that let people survive until next Sunday. And, you know, even so, if they don't like what you hear to say on a Sunday, they can go and listen to 25 other podcasts of people who will say something that they do like. But I think we need to get to the point and understand that we're a part of a church. We are a body. And that's a lot more than just showing up and sitting in our pew. It's being involved. Mm-hmm. It's getting to know people, loving people, being the hands and feet of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And to do that, we have to be engaged in the culture we're in. Because when we think that full-time ministry is the only kind of ministry, or, you know, paid ministry, so to speak, that's the only way to go, we're totally missing it. And as pastors, we need to retrain, I guess, ourselves first, but also the church to understand that we are ministers. We're all ministers, and that we have a responsibility to whatever place God has placed us. And, you know, the seven mountains, just a tool to kind of illustrate that there are different spheres of influence, the different ways to impact culture. And you can pick 45 spheres if you wanted that, right? Mm-hmm. But it's showing that we have a bentness many times where God has placed us. Some have that in politics. And when I've talked about the different spheres or the different ways of influence, I think there's two ways. It's in we're all engaging in any of these spheres at a certain point in a certain way, you know, like in politics, right? We're all should be voting. That's the bare minimum, but not everyone's called to run for office. So there's some people that have a specific calling into one specific area that's kind of on the call on their lives, and that God has put them on earth for their time such as this to be the salt and light on a different level, so to speak. But then we have everyone that's supposed to be engaged and know what's going on. And same with education, right? That we're all called to raise our children in a way that honors and brings glory to the Lord, and that we can help them to find Jesus in the process of true education, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's some that maybe are called to be teachers or to run for school board and so forth, or speak like yourself. And that's a different part. But we can't say like, well, I'm not engaged in this area, so I'm going to write it off. No, we're all touching these areas in one way or another. You go to the store, right? Not everyone is called to be a business owner or run a store, but we all go to the store and spend money, whether that's online or in person. Now, what we don't realize is that the money we spend is actually approving or disapproving on a business, right? So when we choose in this store over another store, we're using the influence God has given us. And if we can see the world in the lens that God has given me influence, wherever I go, how do we then use that? Because if you don't think about that, if I go to this store rather than that store, we miss out to use influence. We can see the obvious one, like Bud Light or some of the, or Disney, right? And that's an easy one. But but every day we make choices and decisions that we can use for God's glory. And and that's just touching some of the areas, right? But I think we need to understand that we all interact across the board with people all the time, and we have an influence to exert, because that's what it means to be a leader, right? It's just influencing people, and God has called us to be salt and light.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
That means, the salt brings out the God flavors, as the Message translation puts it, but it's also stopping decay. And then you have the light that, darkness can't hide in light. And I love the picture that, when you go and turn on the light, it's not a battle, right? When you flick that light switch, as long as there's power, the light comes on and the darkness has to flee. It's not optional. It's not a battle. It's not like, I don't know if the light's going to win this time, right?
It just is.
It just is. And that's the whole picture of God working in us, right? He's the king of the universe. And I think we lack faith in thinking that he's as big as he really is, right? And that God wants to use little me with all our faults and blemishes, because compared to Jesus, we're all the lesser.
Well, Jesus is the real celebrity, right? He's the only one the Bible teaches us that's worthy of praise, it's worthy of glory. I think, we just actually, everyone remembers the Taylor Swift Super Bowl and all of this sort of, we're prone to looking at somebody else. We like to idolize people. We're just like the Israelites. They built a golden calf, and we just, we put people up on pedestals. They may not be a golden calf, but we're treating them in very much the same way.
Yep.
I want to go back to, for just a minute, in the few minutes that we have left today, I want to go back to this idea of cancel culture, because it's going to happen again.
Yep.
And who knows? By the time this recording airs, it may have already happened, right? Where we have yet another pastor that we love and have esteemed and watched their ministry grow and flourish, and then we find out, oh, hey, they've, have been less than honest on their taxes, or heaven forbid, they had some sort of inappropriate relationship that is coming to light. How should we handle, as men and women who love Jesus and want to further the gospel, how should we handle it when we hear about these things, whether it's through the grapevine or it's on the evening news or on social media? How should we respond the next time?
It's a good question. I think the number one thing is to pray, right?
Yeah.
There's many parties involved, and I think so often we're quick to, either we make up our mind, we post on social media,
when we don't have all the information.
Right. Yeah. So maybe start by taking a 3-day of responding nothing and just praying, right?
That's
wise.
But I
think praying, and then also think of, how could this have been prevented? Am I in a situation where this could happen to me?
Ooh,
if so, what safeguards do I have to make sure that doesn't happen? Am I really spending time with the Lord, or am I going on, not habit, but am I just going full speed without taking time to see, okay, God, what are you saying? What can I learn from this? And I think it's important to always have that in our minds. Like, what can we learn? I remember being an intern in the beginning of my time in Bible school and ministry. And there was times where I saw things weren't done the right way. I'm not saying they were wrong to the extent we've talked about today. But I've made it the point to always ask the Lord, what can I learn from this? If nothing else, what can I learn not to do, right? Or could I have done things differently? Or and just having that humility. We have to get away from the idea that we have arrived. As long as we are humble and willing to learn, I think we're growing. And having people in our lives that we trust that can speak to us as well. But I think just not jumping on the bad wagon right away, and just asking the Lord for the truth. And
Boy,
if it thinks they need to be brought up, then let's have it, right? The light is there for a reason, you know, and when we bring things to the light, that's when the Lord can forgive, right?
Yeah.
It's when we ask him to come in and deal with our sin, and we own it and ask for forgiveness. He cleanses it, right? He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, but we have to bring it to the light. As long as it's in the dark, it can't be so.
It's true. And I wonder sometimes, you know, as you're talking, I wrote down something you said, you know, Lord, show me how to learn what not to do. I think maybe rather than, you know, jump on the bandwagon, it's good. I love that you said, hey, take 3 days and just don't post about it. We live in a culture, and I'm guilty of this. I have absolutely done this. You know, we hear something and then you want to be the first person to tell everybody, look, listen what I heard. First of all, we don't even know that what we're hearing is the truth. I mean, I read the other day that Abe Lincoln invented the internet. I'm sure you've read the same thing, right?
Yep.
We don't know. And we get these, you know, we hear these sort of salacious stories. I don't know if I sent you or not. I think maybe I did, or maybe you sent it to me. But the Ravi Zacharias story, which is continuing, you know, now that obviously, you know, posthumously he's dead. He can't he can't defend himself. But his children and his wife have started a website called defendingravi.com where they are saying, listen, this is all these things you guys read in the news have no standing. They have no merit. And here's this guy. I told Jay, I said, I hope and pray that what was said about him in the news was wrong. But regardless, even if it was wrong, he'll never have his reputation back. He'll never have his ministry back. There will be a black eye over Ravi Zacharias Ministries now from here to eternity. And I wonder what would happen if we would take a step back as the children of God and grieve over this stuff instead of salivating and can't wait to talk about it, promote it, put it up on our social media pages, whatever it is. And then we learn from the lives of men and women who it has come out that yes, this did happen. There was this moral failure or whatever it is. Then we can say, Father, please, you know, guard my heart against that. But by the grace of God goes, you know, Heidi St. John or Sam Sandin. We can easily fall into sin. It's one of the reasons why for the month of March, I'm taking the women over at Faith That Speaks. We're studying four sort of villainous women in the Bible. You know, Delilah is one of them. Potiphar's wife is another one of them. You know, we can all think of Jezebel. We're going to be studying Jezebel.
Right.
I think the last one I'm studying is Herodias, right? This is the woman who got her daughter Salome to dance before Herod and then ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. I mean, that was kind of a wicked woman, right? But we can learn things because there were common threads in the lives of these women that ensnared the people around them. And we can say, Lord, help me to have a heart that is soft toward you. Another thing that you said I thought was so good is that we should be praying for our leader. Sam, how important is it for every single person who's listening to this to make a regular habit of praying for the men and women that God has put on the front lines of ministering to his people? Because that is a calling, right? We know that some of us are called to be teachers. Some of us are called to be prophets. We don't all have the same role to play, but boy, we need to be praying for our leaders.
So true. So true. And it sounds like a cliche, but it's so true. It's we need that teamwork, right? It's like we stand on the prayers of those that are praying for us and with us. You know, prayer is not preparation for the battle, it's the battle, as Oswald Chambers said, right?
Yeah.
And it's so easy to disengage because we like the instant, we like the quick, we like, I don't know how many times I'm doing quiet time and I'm getting distracted because a text is coming in and it's, oh, who texted me? And I'm like, no, I gotta push that away. And
I
think I need
I'm
to learning that lesson every day almost, but
I know, I'm the same way.
But it's key. I think, you know, prayer is so much more important than what we give it room for in our lives, and especially when everything is so public.
I mean, my heart breaks for these people. I mean, you guys were just with me for the 2 years that I ran for Congress, and your every aspect of your life is scrutinized. People talk about you, and I think I cannot imagine that whether we're talking about, you know, Mike Bickle or Ravi or whoever it is, that they went into ministry to, you know, mess their lives up and screw up their legacy. and ruin their reputation. The adversary, the Bible is so clear, comes to kill and to steal and destroy. And the very first places he will always take aim are at the men and women that God has called to the front lines of the spiritual battle and the culture. And we need to be in prayer. Such a good reminder. We're going to come back in just a minute, Sam, for Happy Hour. And I kind of want to dive into, see if you can talk to us about what you guys have done up in Cowlitz County to really get your church to engage politically, because you have made a huge difference. You guys have been flipping school boards. Now you have a Christian sitting on your city council, men and women running. And you're not from a church of, 8,000. How many people are in your church?
Probably about 500 on a Sunday.
I'm telling you, you guys, listen to this guy. Sam Sandin knows what he's talking about. I'm always like, looking. I mean, just making such a huge impact. So Sam's going to come back and join me in the next segment of the show for Happy Hour. If you guys want to listen to that, the way to do it is to become a subscriber to the Heidi St. John podcast, and then all of those podcasts will be available to you. You can do that right over at Spotify. Sam Sandin, it's been a joy to have you here today. Where can people find you online?
Our church's website is fathershousechurch.com. So that's probably the easiest way to find us.
All right. FathersHouseChurch.com. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
If you guys want more information on this topic, I'm going to link to several articles in the show notes today. And also, we're going to put a meme up that will help you. Maybe you make it a wallpaper on your phone or whatever. But if you go to the show notes, we'll have a graphic there that will remind you what to pray for your leaders and how to pray for them. And I think, God calls us all to a posture of prayer, whether you're a leader in the church or whether you're someone who's helping steward the children's ministry, whatever it is, we are called to prayer. We need to be a people of prayer. I hope this has been encouraging for you. If you're subscribed to the show, stick around. We're going to be right back for Happy Hour. And everybody else, thank you so much for listening, for leaving reviews for the show wherever those can be left. And we just love you so much. And we're praying for you. If you want to reach out to me, you guys know how to do it. HeidiStJohn.com/mailbox Monday. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you right back here again at the intersection of faith.